Welcome. We are so glad you're joining us. This sermon was recorded live at Cornerstone Church in Cheshire. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
But we're going through our series on the gifts and fruit of the Spirit, and I wanted to speak this morning about the fruit of peace this morning and speak to peace. So let me tell you a scripture that I think some of us know. I learned it when I came early to faith. I memorized it. I held it in my heart. I have preached it. I have shared it with guys in one-on-one discipleship and in other settings. And it's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it says the following: "You will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you because they trust you." You will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you because they trust you. A scripture that I, as I said, know really well, and I've preached and taught and shared. And in the last year, in an area of my life, I have not believed this scripture. And I have questioned and doubted this scripture a lot. So let me tell you why. This time last year, actually July 31st of 2024, our kids were with their grandparents at Cousin Camp. Yes. So they were gone for a week to Missouri, and me and my wife, because we felt like adults, you know, parents, when you get that moment when it's just you, what can we do? What's fun? Let's go into the city. So we went into New York for a couple of nights. And on the second, on the final morning, we were just sitting having breakfast. And who has my chart, you know, for your medical stuff? I hate my chart. Let me tell you why. So we're sitting that second morning, and my wife had had a biopsy a couple of weeks before, but we weren't thinking much about it. And we're sitting there, and she says, "Hey, I've got an email. The biopsy results are through." And she opened it, and she had second stage 2 breast cancer. And it felt like in that moment, our whole world collapsed. Everything stopped. She's reading that email, and she's like, "Okay." And so we get up and we hug and we cry and we just stand there. We're like, okay, this is the journey we're going to have to walk through. And so this time last year, August 2024, was a blur. She was meeting surgeons, oncologists, doctors, nurses. And over the last year, she's had chemotherapy, radiotherapy, immunotherapies, too many doctor's appointments, surgeries, and so on. And grateful to the Lord that she is officially cancer-free, and we are incredibly thankful for that. Thank you. You know, in those moments in the early days, I would stand and think, no, this isn't real. This is always someone else's story. This is something that someone tells me, oh, have you heard so-and-so has cancer? Can you pray for them? And so it was always the other, but suddenly it was ours. It was her story. And some of the things that happened and were obvious, the things that came upon us were really, yeah, we expected that. Then other things crept in under the door and were really hard to walk through. And it's just been a really difficult year. It's probably been the hardest year. Well, it has been the hardest year of my life. We have two teenagers, and that's just incredibly hard when you have to tell them what's happening with mom. And in the midst of all this, a scripture that I knew, quoted, preached, and shared, I suddenly struggled to hold on to. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed in you because he trusts you. But you see, in that moment, I didn't trust God. I trusted what I saw, what I read, what I heard. I feared and believed what I saw, what I read, and what I heard more than God. And all I did in that moment was prove this scripture to be true. Because I did not trust God in this area, I did not know peace in this area. And when there's an absence of peace, what tends to flood our soul is anxiety and worry. And that's what happened. I was anxious. I was worried. I did not have peace. I could see it in so many other areas of my life that I held on to this scripture, knew it to be true, but not this area. Everything changed. Well, what about you this morning? Maybe there's something in your life that you can say, when you stop for a moment and think about it, I am anxious in this. I am anxious for this. I am anxious because of this. You may be walking through something similar to what we have walked through in the last year. but you may not. It could be that suddenly you've got job insecurity and there are financial worries. Or it could be that something is changing in your circumstances, or there's suddenly a problem in life, relationally, or whatever it might be, or maybe one of your kids is walking a path that you don't think is a good path. Whatever it might be, I think for many of us in the room, there is a moment right now when we can say, I am living with anxiety because I'm not trusting God in this area. Now here's the bad news. If it's not in this moment, can I tell you it's probably gonna come? I've orbited the sun 52 times. I've been around it enough to know life doesn't really tend to be problem-free. There's always something coming over the horizon, isn't there? It's great. You're like, if you want to leave just now, that's fine. It's good. You're like, wow. You see, here's the question I think we need to ask ourselves this morning, and it's this one. Is there an area of your life where you know you're without peace because you're not trusting God? Not blanket, but this one thing. This one person, this one situation, this one thing on my mind. Where we're living with anxiety and not peace. Because here's the questions we really need to ask ourselves in this area. Do we have anxiety because it doesn't feel like God's pulling through? Is there anxiety, in fact, because we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and the circumstance has not changed? Or is it because it feels like the answers we're getting aren't the answers we want? You know, when we ask ourselves, why am I anxious in this situation? We've got to begin to ask ourselves, is it because you're not pulling through, God, or it seems you're not pulling through, or I'm not getting the answer I want, or things aren't changing? Because you see, there's a root question at the bottom of all of this. We've got to drill down enough to ask ourselves this. Is it because we don't trust God? Is it because we don't believe that He is actually good? When we don't believe God is good, when we don't believe God is trustworthy, we will live with anxiety in the circumstances and situations and moments of life. And that was how I was living in this last year for so much of it. As we walk through this season, you see, the question really is, do I really trust that God is good? Do I trust that He knows best? That I can trust His leading and guidance through anything that I face. Now please hear me, I'm not saying this lightly or glibly. You've heard our story. This has been the questions I have wrestled with in the last year again and again and again. So this morning we're just gonna take a few moments to consider an ancient story, the story of Abram. You see, Abram was given promises by God, and then circumstance and situation came along, and it didn't quite seem to be going the way he thought. And we're gonna look at Abram's life and we're gonna see what we can learn thousands of years later this morning, how he can speak to us about whether we trust God in an area of life, whether we believe he's good, and whether we can believe that he will guide us well through the circumstances of life, amen? So let's pray together. Father, this morning, as we come into your words, we acknowledge that we need you. Holy Spirit, would you fall afresh upon these words, upon these scriptural truths, and would you help us to go out differently from the way we came in? Would you speak to every heart this morning? God, we need you. So Father, do your will and have your way. Holy Spirit, you have complete freedom in this place. Speak to every heart in Jesus' name, amen. So let's start in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says the following. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So here's Abram, complete pagan. complete pagan, just follows whatever God there is, and there's lots of them. But then this new God comes to him, speaks to him, and he chooses to trust and obey this God and follow him. And this was a big deal because he was willing to put action to his thoughts. He took his family and he left his tribe. That was really significant. That shows such a high degree of trust if he's willing to do that. But he was willing to get up with his family and leave and go and follow this God. And I don't know about you, but if I was Abram, I would probably have a fair bit of swagger when I think about what he's promised me. I'd be like, yeah, this God's, he said this to me, I'm going to be a father of many nations. I know. I'm going to bless people. You're going to be blessed because of me. And if you curse me, look out. You know, there's a lot of swagger involved in that. You know, it's just, I'm going to be famous. Don't want to brag. But this is his life. Well, how does that relate to you and me? Well, first of all, I'm sorry to burst a bubble. I don't think you're going to be a father or mother to many nations. You might, and God might promise you that. I don't think that might be the case. But there are lots of promises and truths in God's scripture that we see for us, aren't there? So much truth, so much of promise in God's scripture that speaks to you and me. And as we walk with Jesus, we collect these truths and promises, don't we? As we read his word, and we hold them in our heart. So that the parallel with Abram is, we read scripture and we see truth and we hold it. But the problem is we can be selective with the truth we want to hold. What do I mean? Here's your first piece of homework today. You're going to go home and you're going to Google God's promises in scripture. Please put in the Bible or scripture. Don't just put God's promises because you'll get everything under the sun, right? But you Google God's promises, God's truth in the Bible and scripture. You get all those links, don't you? And you can click on them. And I've done that a lot. And it's got scriptures that you can read and hold on to. Promises, truth. Here's what you'll see. And I want you to prove me wrong. Almost all of them are centered around ideas like this. I'll be with you no matter what you face. I'm your God. I'll walk alongside you. I'll carry you. I'll keep you. Very few of them are the things, but they are there of like where we're like, you know, I am going to do X, Y, and Z. Now they are there, but the vast majority are much more about an intimate God wanting to walk alongside you as you walk through life. Listen to these two. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Or this one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? None of those give me a warm feel. Yet here we're hearing, here's life. Here's life. God does not promise us happiness 24/7. But he does promise us, I can do the miraculous. And the miraculous might be that I will just keep walking with you and I will be your peace and your support in spite of life. That doesn't normally get many amens, does it? I don't really like that, Rob. I would like you to give me a different word. But yet, that's what the word says. Life can be full of pain and suffering and hardness. But don't fear, you'll overcome. I'll be with you. You will have all these beautiful things in the midst of this. It's always quiet when I say that. So here's Abram walking through life, gets these beautiful promises, big swagger, famous, blessed, blessing, father of nations. So let me come back into his story in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, verses 1 through 5, he's been walking with God for some time now, moving around with his family. And here we pick up Genesis 15, verse 1. It says this. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my own household, will inherit all of my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, we always come to the end part where this is the righteous point, which is very significant. But I love this part of the story because what do we see? God meets him in a vision, reminds him of a promise that I'll be with you. And Abram's first words were like, sure. Where's my boy? Where's my boy? Clearly, this is all that Abram is thinking about. This is the first thing on his heart. The first chance he gets to talk with God again, he turns to God and says, "Hey, where's my son?" Don't tell me that he was not anxious for this promise to come to pass. Amen. The first chance he gets, he turns to God and is like, "Hey, remember, you promised me and it has not happened." I love that about Abram. He comes honestly towards God. But Abram is only asking the question I think that all of us live with. You see, we live in a world where we break promises all the time. Don't we? Maybe you're different. You're like, "I never break a promise." Just ask my wife or kids if I break promises. Not intentionally, most of the time. But we live in a world that's broken and fallen. It is difficult to trust because people are not always true to their words. So it is absolutely fair of Abram to ask this God, "Are you just like everyone else? Are your words really true? Are your words really good? Are you really good? Do you stick to your words? You promised me this and it hasn't happened. So why should I keep following you? Why should I believe you?" Abram has doubt, and to doubt is fully human. But where did he take his doubt? He took his doubt to God. To doubt God does not mean you don't believe in God or have faith in God. Let me say that again. To doubt God does not mean you have no faith in God or don't believe in God. The opposite of faith is what? No faith. And no faith would be, "You don't even exist. I won't talk to you because you are unreal." But Abram wrestles with God. He talks with God. He takes his doubt to God in the midst of his anxiety. "You said, and it's not happening, but I'm going to come to you and we're going to duke it out." Don't believe the lie that if you doubt, you somehow don't have faith in God. If you keep doubting to the point where you don't engage with God, then yes, that is the path you're walking on. But when you doubt something and you take it to God, he can handle it. He can take it. He is the best place to take your doubts, your anxieties, your worries and concerns. And that's what Abram does here. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite authors, he says the following: "Belief in God does not exempt us from feelings of abandonment by God. Praising God does not inoculate us from doubts about God." Madeline Lango, she says this: "Those who believe they believe in God, but without passion in their heart, without anguish of mind, without uncertainty, without doubt, and even at times without despair, believe only in the idea of God and not in God himself." What does that mean? When we are in a relationship with the creator of the universe, when we are with God, then we are engaged with God. We will talk with God. We are intimate with God. We will be vulnerable with God. We will be transparent with God. And that includes our doubts, our fears, and anxieties, doesn't it? We take them all to the one true living God. Otherwise, you just believe in the idea of God. Imagine in a marriage where one person in the marriage was completely indifferent to the other. Did not engage, did not talk. That's not a marriage, is it? But in a marriage, there is covenant. The covenant means there is relationship. It means there is intimacy and communion. It means there is dialogue and conversation. It means there are times you duke it out with your spouse. It is the same in God, isn't it? We are honest with God, to God, about the things of our life. That is a sign of our intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. So here's Abram, given a promise. Clearly it's not coming to pass. So he asks the obvious question, are you even trustworthy? Are you good? Are you just like everyone else? I doubt and I question. And God meets him in that moment and reaffirms the promise, and Abram keeps walking. But then we come to our final scripture for this morning in Genesis 16. Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Abram's still walking, but the promise has still not come to pass. The big one, the boy. And in Genesis 16, verse 1 through 4, it says the following. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram, his wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. Now, there was complicity in both sides here. Please hear me. Sarai said, you can have her. And Abram could have said, no, this isn't what God promised. But he was like, okay, sure. He sleeps with Hagar and they have a son, Ishmael. And if you keep reading the story, it's a disaster. It's a mess. There is discord and the anxiety levels go through the roof. It's just a disaster. Because what did they do? They said, okay, God, your promises hasn't come to pass, so we'll just do it ourselves. How often is that our story? Hey, God, this isn't working out. This promise isn't coming to pass. The truth doesn't seem to be real. So do you know what? I'm going to do it myself. You see, so often following God, it feels like our feet are in two different worlds, isn't it? And this circle is the truth of Scripture. The promises and the truth, and it's good and right, and we love it. But this foot is in our circumstances and situations. And this foot, we're like, but this does not look like this. There's a disconnect. And in those early days, that's where we doubt. And we come to God and we're like, help me understand. I don't understand. Why is this disconnected? And God meets us there and we wrestle with God. But the end point of doubt, as I said, is we do what Abram and Sarah do. We put both feet in this world and say, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to take control. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to lead it. And we do that in so many areas of our life, don't we? What happens in that moment? We choose to be God. It's literally what it means. We are now the problem solvers. We're the ones that are going to be the fixers. Us. We'll fix that kid. We'll fix that relationship. I'll fix my relationship. I'll fix this job situation. Fill in the blank. And off we go and we do it ourselves. And that move, as we move from standing with the foot in the truth of Scripture and the promises, and this one here, which is the circumstances, and that this move is where anxiety just becomes exponential. Why does anxiety become exponential? Because you're now God. You have the weight of it all on your shoulders now. And you're trusting you or your spouse or your kids or your circumstances or the government, whatever it is, fill it in, but you're now trusting that to give the answer. And as I said already, it's all broken. We're all broken. We're all fallen. So anxiety manifests again and again and again. And in this last year for me, I could see me doing that in this area with Sarah's diagnosis. I would have feet like this. I could see truth and promise, but I could see diagnosis. And then, I'd start reading Google. And what I would read, what I would see, what I would hear, what I would feel. And as this foot went from this into this, man, my anxiety would rise and rise and rise and rise. Because I was looking like with this. I trusted and believed and feared what I saw, what I read, what I heard, and what I felt. And Abram and Sarah, they made that decision, let's just do it ourselves. And then they had to live. They had to reap that fruit, didn't they? Discord, disaster, and anxiety. Listen to this story about a woman named Vicky. She says this, have you ever had a crisis of faith? For most of my life, faith has come pretty easy for me until suddenly it didn't. My world was rocked by a rapid-fire series of devastating losses, including those deeply personal, professional, and ministry-related. The honest truth of the matter is that in the midst of my own messy circumstances, I did not feel God near, and my spirit seemed crushed. When I viewed Scripture through my experiences, the words fell flat because I couldn't see or feel the truth of them. They sounded like an empty greeting card sentiment written by a sappy someone who had no idea what it felt like to have the world turned upside down over and over and over again. And therein was the root of my flaky faith. I was only viewing the trustworthiness of God and of His Word through the lens of my circumstances, when I should have been viewing my circumstances through the lens of God's unchanging Word. You see, for Vicky, if the world was good and things were good, then praise God, God was good. But as soon as her world turned upside down and things weren't going well, where are you, God? Pull through. Why aren't you answering this? Why is this hard? Why is this difficult? Why am I struggling? Why is there pain? And she realized that she only viewed Scripture and God through her circumstances and her feelings. They dictated how she felt about God and who God was. So one day it was up and one day it was down. Valleys and mountains, valleys and mountains. And when she realized my faith is circumstantial on my feelings, she knew that was wrong. It had to get to the point where she realized God was good, period. God is trustworthy, period. No matter how she felt about Him, what she saw, what she heard, that actually was redundant. He was good. He is good. He was trustworthy. He is trustworthy no matter how we feel or think about Him. You know, it's like, have you ever seen that story where the guy's stuck on the desert island and he prays, God, will you rescue me? And miraculously, suddenly there's a lifeboat in front of him, but he's like, that's not the answer, and he pushes it away. And then a coast guard comes past and says, we're going to rescue you. And he's like, no, you're not God. Keep moving. Then the helicopter comes with a ladder. We're going to rescue you. You're not God. Keep moving. And then he dies. And he gets to heaven and he's like, God, where were you? And God's like, I sent three different rescues, but you didn't like them. You didn't want those. Those weren't what you thought was the rescue. How often is that true for you and me? You're not pulling through. You're not answering my prayer. You're not doing what I want you to do, need you to do, need you to be. Are we missing the rescue that's right in front of us? Because we don't see it, we don't want to see it, or it's not what we thought was best. Folks, as I said, please hear me. I'm not being flippant in this. This has been our life. I think Abram got to the point where, you ever seen a toddler when they're having like a major meltdown? Maybe yours never did that. major meltdown. And they're just, and then eventually they get to the point where they're just like that sobbing mess on the floor. And you come along and you scoop them up. And you say, it's okay. Kind of feel that's what Abram gets to. He ultimately goes, okay, you're God. I trust you. And that's the place I had to get to. When the circumstance didn't change, when it was hard for my wife and my kids, and I was mad with God and angry with God and questioning and doubting, but I always took it to him, to get to the point where I was that sobbing mess on the floor. And God scooped me up. I said, okay, let's talk. You're at your end. Can you let me come in now? Will you trust me and obey me? Abram got to that point and the promise came to pass. It was always going to happen. But finally, he surrendered and trusted and obeyed. The promise came. He had questions and doubts. He took it into his own hands and eventually he said, okay, God, your way, your will. You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed in you because he trusts you. Can you give me the liberty of rewriting that? How about this? You will keep me in peace in spite of my unchanging circumstances or a promise that seems far away or unreal. Because even though I have doubt and questions, I have chosen to put my trust in your words because you're a good God, faithful to your words. So how are we going to live this out? It's not easy. Up until about a year ago, I could see it in so many areas and it had been hard, but I could do it. And then this last year, it would feel so much harder, so much more difficult. So how do we live it? Well, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 can be an anchor. It says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here's your homework, part two. You're going to take a post-it note and you're going to write that scripture on a post-it note and you're going to put it somewhere really obvious, where you'll see it a lot. In the coming days and weeks, you're going to say it again and again and again, even when things aren't changing, and again and again, even when it might get worse, hello, and again, because you see, it's still true. It never changes from being true. And we hold on to that truth again and again. And we ask the Holy Spirit, show me the area or areas where I have anxiety because I don't trust you. And it might be a spouse, a financial insecurity, a kid, a situation, I don't know. But let the Holy Spirit show you and confess that and say, it's this, it's this. And as you pray that scripture, you're going to surrender that area, that thing. I surrender Sarah's cancer diagnosis. I surrender Sarah's cancer diagnosis. I surrender my kids to you in this season. And you do it again and again. And circumstances may not change and it may get worse, but that scripture is still true. It's still true. It's still true. And we keep on doing that. And because it's always true, it will hold true because God is faithful and good to his words. And it might happen suddenly or it might take a long time, but a peace that is so unnatural begins to grip you. And at first you'll be like, whoa, this is weird. This doesn't seem real. And God begins to flood our soul because he will be true to his words and faithful to his words, irrespective of how we feel about him or his words. And a peace will guard your heart and mind. God is good. Always good, always true, always faithful, in spite of us. He loves you. He's for you. And no matter what you're walking through, he's beside you. And at times he's carrying you because of his steadfast love for you. Let's pray. Father, Father, I pray this morning that by your Spirit you would speak to every heart, and wherever there is a sense of anxiety in a soul over a person, a situation, a circumstance, whatever it may be, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would give them revelation of that, and they would begin to surrender that to you. In obedience and faithfulness, they would give it over to you, and you would begin to flood them with such a peace as only you can do. So God, we invite you in to be God, because you're good. So come, Holy Spirit. Meet us where we are. Lead us closer to the Father. For your glory, for our salvation, and for a peace to flood our hearts. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for watching and listening. Please consider sharing with a friend. Visit us at cornerstonecheshire.com to find out more about our community. Let's learn to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference together.